April 1st, welcome everybody. Thank you for being here. Really appreciate this. Now, we have two joint memorials here today, HJM 2 and HJM 4. And we're going to need to limit testimony because we've got so many people and we want to make sure that every single person gets a chance to say their piece. And we also know that we're going to limit testimony to 2 minutes, but if you have other information that you don't feel was expressed here at the committee hearing, you can put your testimony in writing. We do read that. That will go on the record, and that's so what we're doing here is you want to make sure, one, that you're heard, and two, that facts get on the record. So that's we're going to start by opening HJM 2. Then we'll move to HJM 4 because with HJM 2 there are a number of people who came over 100 miles, so out of courtesy. So with that, I am going to open a public hearing on HJM 2. Erin, will you describe the measure?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. HJM 2 urges Congress to call amendment convention for purpose of proposing free and fair elections amendment to the United States Constitution.
Okay, I've got the list right here. I knew I had it somewhere. I would like to call up first, and if I mispronounce your name, I'm going to apologize in advance. For those of you who haven't testified before, we're going to have people come up in threes, and you're to identify yourself for the record, and then start your testimony. So Jay Almirad, Art Arend, and Brian Halverson, please.
You mean Art Crino?
Art, yeah, that's it, Crino. Sorry. I apologize. And again, I'm just going to do a blanket ask for apology for mispronouncing your name. And I hope that you'll give it to me. And with that, because I mispronounced your name, why don't you go first? Please identify yourself for the record.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, I appreciate this opportunity. My name is Art Crino from Tigard. Citizens United is a disturbing document. There's a lot of wealth and power involved in that subject. But let's face it, this was brought about by the federal government ignoring the Constitution, and we let them do it. That is, we state legislatures and us voters. And that's changing. For example, in 2005, the Real ID Bill, Real ID Act, called for a birth certificate or a passport to get on a commercial airliner. 24 states said no. Other states are, handguns are being manufactured. Some states are allowing marijuana, Oregon included. States are telling their children, you don't have to take the Common Core tests. And the federal government is not doing anything about that because they know if they react, then they will be exposed. They didn't belong in that arena in the first place. The Constitution is not broken. It's not defective. Article 1, Section 8 is very clear on the enumerated powers of the federal government. So another amendment is not going to stop the usurpation. Let's not play Russian roulette with the Constitution.
Thank you very much.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, thank you for letting me speak. My name is Brian Halverson from Portland, and I just want to ask you to support HJM 2 because I believe that the direction money and politics has taken our country is a very dangerous one and that we need to change it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Hoyle and members of the committee, thank you. My name is Jay Almirad. I live in Lebanon, Oregon. The corrupting influence of money in our national politics is harming the citizens of Oregon. Fortunately, there's an avenue for the citizens of the states to fix this problem. I'm here today to ask you to support HJM 2 so that the legislature of Oregon joins four other states in calling for an amendments convention for free and fair elections. Did you know our National Congress has a 7% approval rating, which is the lowest rating ever recorded by the Gallup organization? It's painfully obvious that there's something deeply wrong with the way government functions now. They've lost touch, and we can feel it. The state of Oregon has already passed a resolution, a joint memorial, to ask for an amendment, but Congress didn't even respond because they've lost touch with the citizens, and we can feel it. They're trapped in a broken system. I heard a story from some friends about an experiment in Washington, D.C., where three folks went to their U.S. congressman, and instead of asking them for something, they asked the congressman, "What can we do for you?" And something amazing happened. Each of those three congressmen independently said, "Free us from fundraising. Free us from fundraising." As our elected representatives, you have the power to free them from fundraising, and so that they can work for the citizens of the United States instead of having to walk across the street of the U.S. Capitol and beg rich people for money. So I urge you today to vote yes on HJM2.
Thank you so much. All right, and with that, I believe we have Representative Brian Klem. Are you here to testify, Representative Klem? If you're just here to... okay, I mean, we can get that. Thank you so much. Do you want me to call the next panel, or would you like to? Okay, so there is a microphone, so I would ask that when people testify that you speak up, but don't yell. So Eric Phillips, Jacob Strandler, and Colby Clipson. Whoever starts, start.
Good afternoon, Chair Hoyle, members of the committee. My name is Colby Clipston. I am a Portland native, born and raised, and a volunteer with Wolfpack as the State Director of Oregon. I've been working tirelessly on this resolution for the past year and a half, and I'm extremely excited and proud of the fact that we've been able to find 37 supporters, including Democrats and Republicans from both houses. Ever since I was in high school, I've always tried to be active in politics and participate in the process, but I was constantly discouraged and never able to get results because I was always focused on issues at the national level. It was only once I got involved with Wolfpack and turned my attention to the state level that I realized the effect one citizen can have. I was initially floored by how willing all of the representatives and senators in this building were to meet with me and have a discussion about a vital issue affecting our nation. It makes me feel like democracy is still alive at the state level, and it is how I know we are on the right path using this method. As you know, there are only two ways to amend the United States Constitution. Two-thirds of Congress can vote to propose an amendment, or two-thirds of the states can demand a convention to propose amendments. It is important to remember that either way it's proposed, 75% of the state legislators, 38 in total, must vote in favor of ratification before it becomes part of the Constitution. Of all the constitutional republics in the world, the United States is one of the most difficult to amend, requiring a supermajority of consent amongst the states at both the proposal and ratification steps. And for that and other reasons, I urge you, the members of this committee, to join together and reflect the rest of the House that I've seen in my meetings to pass this HJM2 with a unanimous vote of support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, my name is Eric Phillips, and I live in Portland, Oregon. I'm a father, I'm a veteran, and I'm an electrical engineer. I've come today to ask you to please say yes to HJM2. I want this government to represent myself, my family, and people like me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, my name is Jacob Strandlin. I'm born and raised in Eugene. I'm actually one of your constituents. And I want to throw my support for HJM2. It may not be the most important issue but so many other issues are affected by money and politics that this is something that just needs to be done first before we can get a lot of other important things done. Thank you very much.
Okay, and with that, thank you. And now I'm going to call Representative Clem back up, right? And I'm going to open a public hearing on HJM 4 because I believe you would like to speak to both of them.
Pleasure, Madam Chair. It would help me with my rest of my committee.
Well, we're
schedule,
here to help you, Representative. So please identify yourself for the record, and thank
Madam
you for
Chair, coming. Madam Chair, I'm Brian Clem, State Representative from District 21, which we are currently physically located in. It's parts of the.
You can speak up because people can't hear.
Hello. can you hear me?
Much better. Okay.
This is going on the signy die tape for sure.
A little closer, even. For the record, I'm Brian Clem. I represent portions of Salem, including where you're sitting right now, and I'm here to talk about both HJM 4 and HJM 2. HJM, you have a lot of people on both, probably. HJM 4 more closely resembles language that we did last year in a memorial called HJM 6. I am not opposed to HJM 2, as I'm a chief co-sponsor with you, so that would be really awkward if I was. But I do want to – I don't want to lose track of HJM 4 because it's got a difference to it. It also calls for a constitutional convention, also deals with what I believe to be a very strongly held principle of most people that money is not speech. It also deals with the fact that corporations are not, in fact, people as well. So I know you're going to hear about both. I think losing elements of 4 for 2 is not ideal. I do have some sort of in-between language as well, if you get interested in that, but I will let you hear about both memorials first before offering up any assistance in trying to bridge a gap if there is one. So I would commend both memorials to you. I like 4 a little better because it goes a little further, but I understand realpolitik as well, and would be happy to work with the committee on at your pleasure going forward.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Questions, comments? Yes, Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Clem, I'm curious, and you may not have an answer to this, but I think it's an answer we need to get before we take a vote on both memorials. But if a constitutional convention is called according to Article 5 of the United States Constitution, can the states limit the topics or subjects of any proposed amendments?
Thank you, Representative McLean, for the question, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
My understanding is that we can call for a limited to the topics described, and the states all have to call for that same limited one for it to be convened. And once enough states get the same limited language all to the three-quarter threshold, then it's limited. And if they don't, because theirs are too diverse, then it doesn't happen.
Follow up?
We probably should get legislative counsel to confirm that, but that's my understanding of it.
I think it would be helpful, obviously, the founders of our republic met with the purposes of revising the Articles of Confederation and came out with a constitution. And so I'm concerned that any limits would not be adhered to, and therefore there could be extensions of government power or limitations of personal freedoms that could come under the guise of a joint a convention under Article 5 for your stated purposes. The second question I have is I noticed in Memorial Number 4 that on the back page under Section 2 it says this memorial constitutes a continuing application. It may again be for legislative counsel, but can a continuing application for a constitutional convention under Article 5 of the United States Constitution be made by a House Joint Memorial of the 78th Oregon Legislative Assembly, seeing as the 79th or the 80th or 81st may disagree?
That's an excellent question. I also noted that I incorrectly said 3/4 instead of 2/3 in my last answer. And I believe continuing applications are allowed on the federal side, but it's a good question. Usually we are not allowed to bind future legislatures here. So I do think that's a good question for legislative council. I will also note, and somebody else can probably correct me if I have my memory wrong, that there are various types of constitutional conventions, and this particular type was selected on purpose so you couldn't accidentally get in there and then have a free-for-all with everybody who's got their ideas lobbying other delegates. And so it doesn't mean your concern isn't valid, but there's another one that was way more wide open that we wanted to avoid for that very reason, in terms of having a limited constitutional convention on a particular topic versus just a constitutional convention where you and I get to go back and, you know, try and transfer all federal lands back to the state of Oregon or whatever our ideas are.
Just
you can come to my committee next week if you want to talk more about that, or tomorrow, actually.
Any other questions, comments?
Or Representative Noce wants to come to that one, too, maybe not.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, okay.
No more. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm going to close the public hearing on HJM 4, and we will come back to it. With that, the yellow paper. Wait. Okay. I'm going to call Joseph Stevenson, Allison Hartson, and Richard McLumber.
Like McDonald's said cucumbers, it'd be McCumbers.
Oh, right. Cumber, got it. Next time you come and testify, I will know that.
Thanks.
Thank you. And with that,
you want to start?
Sure. Chair Hoyle, Vice Chair Gilliam, thank you guys, Chair, for your time, committee, for your time. My name is Richard McCumber. I live in Tie Valley, Oregon. I drove over 100 miles this morning to be here today to support HJM2. I bear my testimony today as a son, a brother, a veteran, but most of all a dad. That last one being above all the rest for this reason, besides the obvious ones. And that's the future of the country that I swore an oath to protect against enemies both foreign and domestic. The very fabric of that nation has been frayed by the corrupting influence that money has had at the very highest walls of our democracy, but not beyond repair. The great men and women who kindled the very flames that started the fire of democracy had a plan. Statesmen like yourself were that plan. You are the very heart of that plan, in fact. Our elected officials here in our towns, in our districts, in our state, you hold the key. And that key is HJM2. It's the very first step on the path to a real representative democracy in this country. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And I'd be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. But we'll do the panel, and then if people have questions. Yes.
Hi. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
So far away. Okay. Hi.
Or you can move it closer if you'd like.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that, I guess. Chair Hoyle and members of the committee, thank you so much for having us here today. My name is Allison Hartson. I'm a national coordinator for Wolfpack, which is the political arm of the Young Turks, the largest online news show in the world. We currently are working with volunteers in 40 states to pass our resolutions at the state level calling for an amendment convention to restore free and fair elections. We will have at least 20 live resolutions this year alone, and recently passed a resolution in Vermont, California, Illinois, and New Jersey. Within the last month, we've passed through the Senate of Delaware and the House of New Hampshire and Hawaii. Momentum in the states is growing. We also made history a couple of weeks ago when the first application Congress ever officially counted after 230 plus years was the Wolfpack resolution from Illinois, which has very similar language to HJM2. You already know the problem, and I know that we all share the same sentiments in terms of what is corroding our democracy. So I'm going to get right to one of the common questions that I've been hearing. An important fact to know about this process is that there are over 700 applications for a convention of the states on a multitude of separate issues. 49 of the states have passed a resolution calling for an amendment convention, including Oregon. Hawaii is the notable exception as the youngest state, but we are working on that. So here's how we know that only applications on the same issue can be counted together. If you can take 20 applications for issue A and 10 applications for issue B, 4 applications for issue C, put them together and have a convention on those three topics, we would have already had a convention. So therefore, that means that the scope of the convention will be limited to that specific subject matter stated in the state's applications. The historical record shows that there's very strong precedent for a single issue convention. Furthermore, there have been over 233 state level conventions to adapt their and amend their state constitutions, and none of them have ever run away from their scope. Zero. So the same reason that some groups and individuals oppose the convention process is the same reason that I'm for it. It's a democratic process, and I just want to thank you for being leaders in the fight for free and fair elections in America. I ask for your favorable vote on HJM2. And finally, if any of you have any questions about the similarities or differences between these two resolutions, please feel free to ask me. I am the national team, and I'm ready to handle that conversation.
Thank you. And I will note that I did allow you to go longer than 2 minutes.
Thank you.
You did travel more than 100 miles, and you did have...
So I got to travel a little bit more in my speech.
A little bit more.
Okay.
I don't want anyone to think that that's just a general rule that we're going to do. So
I'm not setting historical precedents here.
Do not set historical precedents.
Chairman Hoyle, members of the Rules Committee, my name is Joseph Stevenson. I'm a retired nurse. I came here from Astoria today to speak in support of HJM2. 54 years ago, at the age of 18, I joined the Freedom Riders in their civil rights campaign. I was arrested, beaten, and jailed in Houston, Texas in August of 1961. I was young, actually too young to vote at the time, but I took that action because I believed that the racial discrimination embedded in the laws of our land at that time was not only a flagrant injustice, but a disgrace to our nation. Today, I see an even more fundamental problem embedded in the laws of our nation. I'm not a lawyer, but it appears to me that with the Citizens United decision, the Supreme Court has effectively declared that our government is for sale to the highest bidder. All reasonable restraints to campaign financing have been removed, and now our public servants and candidates are no longer evaluated by the quality of their ideas, but rather how much money they're able to solicit from donors with deep pockets and obvious agendas. I think we'd all agree this is clearly not what our founding fathers had in mind for our young democracy. I see this as the signal issue of our times, but this time around, I am choosing not to engage in civil disobedience. Instead, I am here today appealing to my own state representatives to take action. Looking back through history, I see a long line of reformers who've worked hard to expand the right of self-determination to more and more people. Used to be that only men could vote, and people could be owned as property, traded, bought and sold like chattel. But as I look around the world as it is now, I see a lot of empty castles. I see men who won the right to live free, women who won the right to vote. I see that David sometimes defeats Goliath, and I see a constitution that's been amended many times. The reason I was not old enough to vote in 1961 is that the 26th Amendment was not passed until 10 years later. I urge you all to vote yes on HJM2. Thank you
very much. Thank you for your testimony, and thank you for coming here today. Appreciate it. With that, I will have Bob Oldfather, Harold Salzberg, Eric Wunderlich. And then after that, we will have Matt Micah, Richard Van Robel, and Cheryl Ann Lewis. That will be the next three people. So right now, Bob Oldfather, Harold Salzberg, Eric Wunderlich. Just start.
Madam Chairwoman and representatives, my name is Bob Oldfather. I live in Hood River. I'm an orchardist and a food manufacturer. And I really urge the support of this bill, HJM2. For the first time, I'm 64 years old, for the first time since the 60s, I feel like we might be able to make a change. We might be able to change what's going on at the national level. And changing that in this country is going to change the world. because we have such a major influence on what goes on around the world. So I'll keep it short and sweet. This is Oregon. We lead the way. Join the other states that are leading the way and support this bill. Thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman and Committee. My name is Eric Wunderly. I live currently in Eugene, Oregon, and I'm a student at the University of Oregon. I strongly support HJM2, and I believe in free and fair elections, and I am a strong supporter of the idea of a democratic republic, and I fear that the Citizens United ruling is a negation of that ideal. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
With that, is Harold Salisbury here? No. Okay. We'll just hold and see if he comes back. Matt Mica, Richard Von Robel, and Cheryl Ann Lewis, please. And who would like to start?
Madam Chairwoman, members of the committee, thank you for the chance to speak today. My name is Richard Von Robel. I am a student at Portland State University, graduated last year, and I'm currently a sales professional still up in Portland. Keep it really short and sweet. I really strongly urge you to vote yes on HJM2. It's the most important issue on the table right now. It's the first thing that needs to get done before everything else, and it's very important. Please vote yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Hoyle, members of the committee, thank you for letting me speak. I'm here to support HJM2. From the time I heard Bill Moyers say we no longer have a functioning democracy, we have a plutocracy, I have wanted to do something about this. I searched for an organization to be a part of that was doing something, and I found the one that's the most organized, doing the best work. And I found out about the Article 5 Convention and how our founding fathers gave this tool to state legislators precisely for this exact purpose, when Congress is no longer responsive to the will of the people and it behooves the states to do something about it. And we have the power. It was put into the Constitution with foresight by the founding fathers, and I'm asking you to support it. It's HJM2. Thank you.
Thank you. And yourself.
Yeah. Representative Hoyle, members of the committee, I appreciate you taking the time to discuss this matter. My name is Matt Mica. I'm a student at PSU, and for a long time I've been really fretting over the national situation that we have here. And for a long time, I didn't think it was possible for any one person or any one citizen to take a change here. But sitting with you, and also it's pretty easy to demonize the policymakers that make the decisions for the rest of the people. But sitting in the cafeteria today and just being with all of you, it's refreshing to just get that human side of it, because I don't know, it's off the point, but I am in full support of HJM2, and I believe that it is best for everyone in this room and for all of you up here to pass this bill. So, or it's not a bill. I'm not going to school for politics, but I know this is the right thing to do.
Shouldn't, because you might be demonized.
Good point.
But I want to thank you very much, and I think that you're being sincere, and we get the message, and I very much appreciate you coming up to testify.
Thank you very much.
Because this is your capital. Yeah. Okay. With that, yes.
Madam Chair, I don't think you stated your name for the record.
I did forget that. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm Cheryl Ann Lewis. I'm a peer support specialist. I work in behavioral health, and I'm here from Portland.
Great. Thank you so much.
From House District 45.
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. With that, Phil Guldotti, Karen Josephson, Chris Aguidello.
I'm just about to tell him that. I was gonna.
Good afternoon, Chair Hoyle,
members of the committee. My name is Chris Aguadello. I'm here to ask you to vote favorably on HJM 2. I live in Milwaukee, Oregon. I'm a military veteran, a husband, a father, a teacher, a small business owner, and a committed citizen of Oregon and of the United States. This is really my first time endeavoring on a task that involves affecting policy, and it's because I view this issue specifically as fundamentally important. It's the issue that affects all other issues. Nearly 9 out of 10 Americans believe that reducing the corruption in the federal government is a top priority. A recent poll shows that 97% of Americans want to reduce the influence of corruption in our elections. Congress, right now, has lower institutional support than King George did during the Revolutionary War. From conservative Republicans to progressive Democrats, all Americans agree on the need to restore free and fair elections in America. It's not a left versus right issue, it's a right versus wrong issue. Oregon has expressed its desire to have Congress solve the problem with a constitutional amendment, but Congress has proved incapable of taking action when it comes to solutions, failing even to pass a Disclose Act with a Democratic president and supermajorities in both houses of Congress. Americans are deeply concerned that our representative democracy is in jeopardy when dark money flows uninterrupted into our political process, obscuring the will of the people and stalling any practical solutions that we face. So what do we do about this? Well, on this vital American issue, Congress itself is the source of the problem. Then it's the duty and the responsibility of the states to take action in fixing it. I encourage you to vote favor of HDM 2 in order to begin a real conversation about how to restore the rights of the people so we can utilize the process that has historically resulted in amending the Constitution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Josephson.
Thank you, Chairman Hoyle and members of the committee. My name is Karen Josephson, and I could not be more pleased today to see how many people in this room I agree with. I agree with every person that's up here articulating the problem, and so we are all on the same page about this problem. To me, it is just thrilling. But what I'm worried about is that we're using the wrong tool. So I checked that I'm speaking against HJM 2. I'm not against HJM 2 so much as it's not a heavy of enough tool. It's like taking a little wrench to work on a huge, big piece of machinery. It might nibble away at the problem. But this problem goes back to the late 1800s, as I'm hoping one of our other people will be able to tell you. And I would love it if everybody in the room could take a deep breath and do some research and read this book, Corporations Are Not People, Why They Have More Rights Than You Do, and What You Can Do About It. And the Bill Moyers person who talked about Bill Moyers, he's one of my guys too. Bill Moyers wrote the foreword to this. We need to know how deep and entrenched the problem is. And I'm worried that this tool is too light because it uses the words free and fair. To a lot of the 1%, it's fair right now. It's free right now. They have the freedom to spend as much money as they please. And the Supreme Court backs them up on that. So we have a lot bigger, heavier lift, and we need HJM 4, which says specifically money is not speech, and specifically corporations are not people. And if we don't go to that depth and make it clear like that, we won't solve this problem that's been around since the late 1800s. Citizens United was passed in 2010. Before 2010, in the 80s and 90s, those of us that are here for HJM 4, for 20, 30 years, we have been frustrated about this. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Sir.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, my name is Phil Guidotti. I'm from Central Point down in Southern Oregon. I've spoken with hundreds of people in our area. I'm a bike ride away from Representative McLean's district. I certainly know quite a few people from Representative Wilson's district, but I'd like to speak for all of Oregon, of course, but there's not a whole lot of Southern Oregonians in here probably, so. I can say that I come from a rural district. There's a lot of conservative folks around there, and I've talked to so many of them, and it's amazing. This day and age, this issue, everyone seems to be in agreement that this is a major issue that needs to be dealt with in a timely fashion, so. I want to speak on behalf of my neighbors in that way. while we all agree of the problem, it seems, the process isn't so clear to all people. It is through Article 5 that state legislators retain their power to check the federal government, especially an out-of-control government. And again, I think we can speak for my region that most of us think the federal government is out of control. I believe one of our most revered presidents, Abraham Lincoln, worded my position well. He said, "This country, with its institutions, belongs to the people who inhabited it. Whenever they shall grow weary of the existing government, they can exercise their constitutional right of amending it." I will venture to add that the convention mode seems preferable. Again, that was Abraham Lincoln. I added an emphasis there, but that was Abraham Lincoln's words. When comparing our two routes of amending the Constitution, I see I don't have much time. Let me just say this. I don't trust Congress to do this, and most of us don't either. I trust you all. You're accessible, honest, forthright, people that have listened to our concerns, and I really appreciate that. So thank you. I trust you with this task. I urge for a yes vote in HGM2.
Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate you coming today and coming all this way.
Thank you.
All right. Tony Dethelm, Kevin Branham, and Kyle Reed. And you may start, sir.
Representative Hoyle, members of the committee, my name is Tony Dethelm. I live in Portland, work in Hillsboro at Intel. Thank you for letting us come here and talk to you. Sorry.
Sorry, I think you've got a little bit of laryngitis.
No, that's just me.
Okay.
And I don't even smoke. I'm here to urge you to vote for HGM 2 and, why not, HGM 4 as well. It sounds pretty good. I think everyone else is making all the points that need to be made. Just to tack on my own two cents, I would say that it's a political reality in the world right now, that if you don't have a couple of million dollars, you don't get elected to Congress. And I don't personally believe that there's a quid pro quo legislation for money in Congress. But when you need a couple of million dollars, you meet with the guy that writes you a check. You guys have to raise money to get elected. You know how that is. It's a matter of access. I don't have a $10,000 check to write to my reps, and so I don't get heard as much. And that's why we all don't get heard. So just that. Please vote for HGM to fix that.
Thank you. Yes.
Chairman Hoyle, members of the committee, thanks for letting me speak. I'm Kevin Branham from Albany area. And I just want to urge you to vote yes on HGM 2. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Madam Chair Hoyle and members of the committee. Thank you for your time. This is my first time ever doing this, so bear with me, please. My name is Kyle Reed. I'm a self-taught electronics engineer. I was born in Portland, Oregon. I am here in favor of HJM 2. Citizens United set a dangerous precedent and a slippery slope that takes democracy away from the majority of citizens and makes politics and legislation for sale through campaign contributions. Please help us make things better for the majority of citizens and not exactly for the profits of the few. Wolfpack wants to help make this as easy and smooth as possible for all of you. Thank you very much for your consideration of HJM 2.
Thank you. Great. And Charlie Swanson, John Flannery, and has Harold Salisbury come back? No. Okay.
Hey, Chair Hoyle and members of the committee, thank you for your time. I'm Charlie Swanson from Eugene and a member of We the People Eugene. There's overwhelming agreement among Republicans, Democrats, and Independents that there's too much money in politics, and there's even greater agreement that there's too much corporate money in politics. The strongest action the legislature can take in this session to attack this problem is passing either HJM 2 or HJM 4, or something along the lines of what Representative Clem was suggesting, maybe a merger of the two. It doesn't matter so much which one is passed, but something should be passed. The convention that's called for, or more likely Congress in trying to prevent a convention, will actually decide the words of an amendment. But the memorial should describe the problem. The HJM 4 and also what the 2013 legislature adopted as HJM 6 recognized that the problem was not just money in elections, but it was money in politics more generally. So I think it would be useful to amend HJM 2 to describe the problem in that way. The 2010 Citizens United decision is infamous, but a bigger problem actually comes from the 1976 Buckley versus Vallejo decision, which unequivocally rejected the promotion of equality as a basis for campaign finance regulation. Of course, it is a compelling state interest to prevent the inequality of political influence based on wealth. And affirming this is probably the most important thing to happen in this amendment, that is a problem to be addressed, or in this memorial, I mean. Both House Joint Memorial 4 and the 2013 House Joint Memorial 6 recognize that corporate rights are inappropriate and that people and corporations are politically different. The most important part,
Thank you, Mr. Swanson.
Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate it. And yourself.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, my name is John Flannery. I'm here from Eugene, and I'm here to urge you to amend HJM 2. You, as politicians, all understand that you may be faced with an election attack ad. So, and maybe the ad would say something like, your representative wasted your tax dollars, vote for their opponent. If we go through this enormous effort to call the very first Article 5 convention and the enormous intellectual resources that go into that convention, and then after is the enormous fight over ratification, and then we come out with an amendment that just addresses elections, then you may then be faced with an attack ad that says something like, your representative wasted your tax dollars. Call this number and tell them how angry you are. Now, what's really the practical difference of that? There's a spectrum of political speech there, and trying to draw these lines in between the different kinds of speech is futile. And if you do draw that line, then the big money interests will just get right outside that line and spend just as much or more as they're spending now. Instead of trying to draw distinctions between different kinds of political speech, the way to do it is to draw a distinction between an allowable amount of spending and an excessive amount of spending. But the topic should be all attempts to use money to influence government, not just those that go through elections. A good way to actually amend HJM 2 is to use the Illinois language that says that instead of specifying in the resolves part that it's about free and fair elections, it's about any of the topics spoken of in their entire proposal. The whereas this and whereas that are all defined the appropriate topics for the convention. And
thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Yes. Hold on.
I would like to ask Aaron first. Do we have the Illinois language, or we can get that pretty quickly?
Madam Chair, Representative Gilliam, we will be happy to get that for you.
Okay, and I'd be happy to look at that. And then I had a question for who we just lost. It's Mr. Swanson.
Yes.
Mr. Swanson. Thank you for being here. Just a quick question. When you agree with Representative Clem, which is dangerous in this building, just to understand, you don't see a huge difference in the language. So you'd be okay with some melding?
I would be happy with some melding, yes.
All right, that's open. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, Joe, I don't know if it's Joe Z. Spector or Joe's Spector. Joel. Joel Spector, Joanne Nesser, and Mark Nesser.
Okay, I might as well start off. Hi, I'm Joel Spector. I live in Portland, Oregon, in Representative Smith Warner's district. I work as a database administrator for the Community Alliance of Tenants, and I'm here to urge you to vote yes for HJM2.
Thank you. Ms. Nesser.
Chair Hoyle and members of the committee, my name is Joanne Nesser. I'm from Oregon City. I work for a very small Oregon company. I'm a wife and a mother, and I urge you to vote yes for HJM2. I do have a daughter, and I do want her future to be better. So I think this can help that.
Great. Thank you.
Chair Hoyle and committee, my name is Mark Nesser. I live in Oregon City. I support HJM2 for free and fair elections. As a musician, I meet and perform for people that have a wide variety of political beliefs. Everyone that I have spoken with about HJM2 has told me that they are in favor of it. This has given me the confirmation that this HJM2 is what the people want. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Rebecca Gulledge, Gretchen Becker, and Robert Leachman.
My name is Robert Leachman. I came down from Beaverton today to ask for your support for HJM2.
Oh, thank you.
I'm Rebecca Gulledge from Southeast Portland, and I'm here to support HJM2 and ask for your vote.
Thank you.
My name is Gretchen Becker. Members of the committee, thank you for listening to me. I'm from Representative Rayfield's district, and this is the first time I've been involved with the political process, and I'm really excited to do so because I'm a public policy student at Oregon State. And I just wanted to say I support HJM2 with both my academic opinion and my personal beliefs in support of HJM2. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. With that, Colin Weber, Carlos Ferrer Perry, and Erica Ferrer.
Hello, my name is Colin Weber. I'm from Eugene, Oregon. Oh, there you guys are. From Eugene, Oregon, and I just work in retail sales. I'm here to support HJM2 for the simple fact that I believe the people should have a better voice than basically what boils down to a legal fiction in a corporation or even a union from the other side of things. And the people who are here who vote or who will eventually vote should have a greater right than those who make things for us to buy or provide services. Thank you.
Perfect.
I'm Carlos Ferrer Perry. I'm from Beaverton, and I'm here to ask you for your support of HJM2.
Thank you.
I'm Erica Ferrer, and I'm here to throw my support behind HJM2. And I'm from Beaverton also.
Oh, okay. You're together.
We're together.
Same names together. Great. Well, thank you both for coming, and again, thanks for coming to your house. It's great for you to express your opinion before you vote, and it's great. All right, next, Josh Baumgartner, Steve Keister.
Chair Hoyle and the representatives, in particular Representative Gilliam, who's my representative. My name is Josh Baumgartner. I live in Silverton, and I've come here in full support of HJM2. We've heard a lot of passionate causes for why we need to do this. Support seems to be across the political spectrum. One of my coworkers, finding out what I was up to this afternoon, came by my cubicle and said, "I have a sign for you to hang them." And all it was a piece of paper that said, "Hang them." sentiment that's out there, and it made me think, you know, historically, major political change throughout the history of civilization is usually accompanied by violence. But our founding fathers gave us tools for us to make important changes so we could maintain our democracy without a need for that. And that is at the core of why I think it's so important, regardless of your political position, to support a free and fair election system that is not unduly influenced by money and other outside influences. So I urge you to vote for HJM2, and I thank you for your time and consideration.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you for being here despite your coworkers' attitude. I appreciate yours.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you. So the two people, final people on HJM2, Harold Salisbury, Steve Keister, are either of those people here?
Guess which one I am.
I don't know. Harold?
50-50 chance.
Did I butcher your name?
Pardon me?
Did I butcher your name?
It's Steve Keister. It's close enough.
Keister. Sorry.
It's one of those German names. We have a lot of those around here. From here, one can't tell if one can be heard in back.
The accused.
Okay. I signed the list. I had no idea I would have a chance to speak. Basically, Josh is one of the guys that I came down here with. Well, the guy I came down here with. And we have a democracy. If we're going to have a free and fair democracy and a true democracy, we need to have elections that represent the people. Right now, we have elections that represent financial interests. Capitalism is our means of making money. That's a wonderful thing. But the corporations have way undue influence. The 1% are having a field day. I hope they're having a good time. I think we need for that to stop. Free and fair elections run by the government, run by the people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, with that, I am going to close the public hearing on HJM2, and I am going to open a public hearing on HJM4. And I will call up. I'll call up Kirk Leonard, Rich Harissa, and Neil Marissa, sorry.
Parisay.
Well, come on up, whoever you are. Neil Feldstein.
Actually, it should be Feldman.
Feldman. Huh. That wasn't me.
That wasn't the one who wrote it.
I know. Feldman. And just while they're getting settled, Charlie Swanson, John Flannery, do you want to testify on this as well, or do you want your other testimony?
I'm going to win.
Okay, you would, and you as well. Okay, so we'll have you up after. And whoever wants to start?
Go ahead. Hello. the Rules Committee, thank you for listening to me, Chairman Hoyle and other committee members. I am Richard Harrisay, co-founder of Marion Polk, Move to Amend. And one of the chief reasons or objections to calling for a constitutional convention is that it may result in a runaway convention. Unless you count the convention which produced our Constitution, there isn't much precedent, but there is a little bit. For instance, the balanced budget amendment hit 32 states, and not quite enough. And that's not critical mass. But as that approached 32 states, some steps were taken in the Senate to set up some guidelines for how a convention would be called. So we have that, but not much more. Technically, the first convention was not a product of Article 5, since the Constitution did not exist when it was called. The statements, therefore, concerning the structure, format, selection of delegates, subject of matter, and are all pretty much conjecture and a matter of opinion, erudite or otherwise. So here is one of those opinions, and I'll leave you to determine which category it fits into. Firstly, Article 5, Plan B, the second way of proposing the amendment, does not call for a constitutional convention. It calls, and I quote, on Congress, on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments. It does not call for a convention to write a constitution, but for proposing amendments. A minor point. Secondly, and not so minor point, is our experience with the 17th Amendment. The people clamored for this amendment, and when Congress took inadequate action, initiated a campaign for an Article 5 convention. When they were within one state of the two-thirds necessary to force that convention, Congress stepped in and passed through both houses the 17th Amendment, and it was ratified a year later. The result is that we now have senators elected by proper popular vote. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Please vote for HJM4.
Okay.
Chair Hoyle, members of the committee, my name is Kirk Leonard. I'm a resident of Salem and here to speak in support of HJM4. I'm also with the Move to Amend organization and worked with members of the committee who are still members of the committee in 2013 to pass HGM6, which is essentially the same pillars, we call them now. Corporations aren't people, money's not speech. We feel like that frames both an amendment and a convention well enough to keep a runaway convention from happening. I want to address both of those, although I will dispense with money and speech real quick. Everybody gets it. We all know we have too much money in elections. There's too much money in elections. There's too much money in politics. HJM4 talks about money for political purposes, so it meets the desire for an amendment that extends beyond elections. The one that's a real challenge for people is corporate personhood, and I just want to say a few things. You know, it's been out there that corporations are people, and while it takes people to make a corporation work, a corporation is not a person. That's at the base of it. There's a lot of misunderstanding. People think that, oh my gosh, corporations will lose limited liability if they lose corporate rights. And that's not the case. They get that by virtue of state chartering. And it's thought that closely held corporations, family corporations, might lose their personal rights. The failing to distinguish between the two is a real important, it's an important distinction to make. You don't lose your personal stuff.
Thanks.
We need to include something that addresses corporate power. It's not just, otherwise we'll have Citizens United 2.0.
Thank you. And Mr. Feldman?
You don't reach. You don't have one of those mobile ones, do you? No. Can everybody hear me?
Yes. Yeah, everyone can hear you.
I'll do it that way then.
Yeah.
My name is Neil Feldman. I'm from Salem, Oregon. Chair and committee, thank you for letting me and the others speak on this matter. Money is not speech. There's a word not brought up yet, bribery. Bribery used to be a crime, usually a felony. There was a reason for this, so our government would not be for sale to the highest bidder. Congress has an approval rating of about 6%, yet a reelection rate of over 90%. There's only one way this happens, corruption, and little has the corruptive effect that money does. Every person is constitutionally given one vote, but bribery allows the rich to effectively have many votes. and our elected officials are forced to spend 80% or more of their time chasing money from the deep pockets. This is not only unconscionable, it's unacceptable. Corporations are not people. Corporations are legal fictions created to simplify how certain businesses are done. Originally in the U.S., corporations were only allowed for 10 years and then they would be dissolved. When formed, they had to be in the public interest, and if at any time they ceased to benefit the public, they could be immediately dissolved. Corporate charters could apply for extensions, but that was very difficult. This became a severe problem when corporations were made immortal and the public benefit requirement was removed. This has become a catastrophic problem since the activist Roberts corporate-backed U.S. Supreme Court ruling in Citizens United and McCutcheon. I strongly support HGM-4 and support, but less so, HGM-2. The difference is I'm not thrilled about the idea of an open-ended convention since, in my opinion, the Bill of Rights would not survive a majority vote today, as well as many other amendments as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And the next three.
Can we please have Bob Osratic, and Rachel Osratic, and Stephen Farish, please.
And I'm going to apologize, but I've just been called up to the Speaker's office by the Speaker, and when the Speaker calls you to her office, you go. So
ooh,
I will.
Someone's in trouble.
I've never met the Speaker. Please say.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead. Thank you.
Vice Chair Smith-Warner and committee members, my name is Bob Osratic. I'm from Corvallis and the co-founder, thank you, of the Move to Amend chapter there. Once declared persons in the 1800s or the 1880s, corporations and slaves enjoyed the same equal protection and due process rights of the 14th Amendment. Too often, company owners like Hobby Lobby's consider that which they own to be themselves. Thus, the confusion and the continuing litigation to expand what next constitutional right will apply to the thing they own. Despite Mitt Romney's pronouncement that corporations are people, my friend, the common person gets that they are not. More than 85,000 real people, a 74% majority of voters in Corvallis, Ashland, Eugene, and Lincoln County, voted in favor of a constitutional amendment saying that constitutional rights are for natural people, and money is a thing and can be regulated in the political arena. They get it. And so did the rank-and-file Democrats in convention to draft their platform in 2012 and 2014. The language of these measures was clear and specific, and essentially the same as HJM-4 before us today. Through HJM-6 in 2013, this very committee and the legislature asked Congress for an amendment whose language was straightforward, unambiguous, specifically, and essentially the same as HJM-4. Debatable constitutional conventions cans and cannots aside, why would you not ask in a constitutional convention application for the same specific language that you've already directed Congress to incorporate into an amendment?
Thank you. Whichever of you care to go next.
Vice Chair Smith-Warner, Rules Committee, my name is Steve Farish. I come from the coast. I've been working on this issue since shortly after Citizens United in 2010. I was here in 2013. To support HJM-6. It was excellent work we all did together. Thank you very much. I am not going to belabor the evils of corporate personhood in our government or, I'm not going to go there. I am heartened by the testimony of everybody in this room. We're all on the same page. We want to see an Article 5 convention. It's been 5 years since Citizens United. It's been 2 years since HJM-6 was passed by this body. It's been many dozens of years since corporations have had their way with our federal and state governments. We need to do something. It's obvious that the federal government is not going to act, so our only avenue left is a constitutional Article 5 convention. The major difference I see here between HJM 2 and HJM 4 is the wording. HJM 4 is extremely specific. They want two things to be at work in this amendment. They want corporations to not be people, and they want money to not be speech. It's very important that when we send those delegates, and we will send those delegates to that convention, that they have a clear and concise mandate from this body for what exactly we want them to do. Free and fair elections doesn't cut it. That's wide open. The two pillars of the move to amend language are specific, and they get to the root of the problem. If you send people with an unclear shopping list, you're going to come back with who knows what. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Co-Chair Representative Smith Warner. Hopefully I'm speaking loudly enough. I just also want to express my amazement at how many wonderful young people we have here showing up, and thank you so much for coming, and all of your enthusiasm. I want to point out that Citizens United was one of the more recent of the crazy Supreme Court decisions that have built this fiction. It's a legal fiction, but it is a fiction that corporations are people and that money is speech. I mean, money is speech came out in 1976 in a court decision, and then followed by corporations can spend as much as they want because they're people in 1978. But way back in 1886 is when they started talking about the Supreme Court, in court reporter's notes, mentioned that all of the justices believe that corporations are people. And that's at the beginning of this legal fiction that has gone on, some of in split decisions, and some have gone one way, some the other, but gradually we've built this, what I call, well, it's a corporatocracy, or maybe it's a plutocracy, because it's wealth or corporations ruling. And I think it's really a core plutocracy that we have. The wealthy and the corporations, the ultra wealthy and the mega corporations. You know, none of us are against corporations per se, but we don't want to be ruled by artificial persons. And so I just wanted to point out that the Boston Tea Party, and I realize that I've given you two different pieces of testimony, but the Boston Tea Party was because, I'm out of time, sorry.
Thank you. And you know you can submit your testimony as well. Mr. Vice Chair.
For this panel, yes. Please, I'd like to ask a question. If you could, particularly our last two testifiers, and I appreciate you being here and your testimony very much, but if you could just say another word about the potential, and I hope you listen to what I'm saying, potential politicizing of that, you know, corporations are people, corporations are not people. From my memory, and I may have just one context, this came out of a presidential soundbite that the media jumped on a particular candidate. And folks interpreted it several ways, or two ways really, not several. That all that individual is trying to say that it's made up of people, and that's been said on the record as well. Is it possible that using that language in a memorial would be a political problem because of the definition of how you see that popular phrase? Does that make any sense?
Well, I think the political problem would be if people are not aware that that corporations have been awarded, as you'll see in my testimony, the 1st, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 14th Amendments, rights under all those amendments. So I think it's a shorthand that we shouldn't use, corporate personhood, because it's not clear. But I think that if people have the facts, it becomes pretty clear.
Thank you. Comment?
The term has been used as a media driven political punching bag, as the media is so good at doing. There are certainly other ways to word that segment and get to the same end. What you want very clearly is that corporations, unions, and man-made entities do not naturally have the rights under the Constitution that human beings have. May I add one more thing here?
Briefly, please.
I would like to interject one other thing. We're all worried about a runaway convention, and we're all worried about this won't make it to the stage of being a convention because of the difference in wording from one state to the next. I would like to see the state of Oregon take it upon itself to create a panel, a work group, to work with all 50 states, other states, to create a unified wording and a unified drive to make this happen.
Thank you, Madam
Thank
Chair.
You. Thank you. Is there another question? Representative Rayfield?
Yeah, Mr. Ostertich.
Hang on a second, panel.
So, and before, I just thought I would alert the panel to note that I am in the lead for more constituents in the room than Representative Gilliam.
I think I still have you both beat, but thank you. Go ahead.
I don't know. We'll get a final tally from the committee administrator. But Mr. Ostrich, we were talking a lot about, and I agree with you that there is the importance to have the specificity of the language, and I'm curious if having an amendment to HJM2 with that specificity, you know, if that makes sense to you, or do you prefer HJM4 just on its face value? So I just thought you might tell the committee about that.
Formerly, you know, include corporate personhood and specifically, you know, money as speech and other words would be fine. I like
the part about the selection of delegates in HJM2, which is not in 4. I think that's a useful direction for a state to consider. But I think that a modification of primarily 2 would be something that I think we could get behind.
Can I say just real quickly one more thing?
We still do have a full sheet of testifiers on this bill.
All right. So I just wanted to say that Move to Amend Group has been very interested in coming up with a compromise with the Wolfpack Group. I just want to go on the record.
Thank you. Okay, our next three testifiers. Sandra Oliver hyphen a last name that begins with a P, Steve Bintliff, and Charlie Swanson. That's Charlie from before. That's Sandra. Steve Bintliff. Oh, there you are. Sorry, sir. And why don't we start with you, actually? Steve, we'll move left to right, please.
Hi.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Vice Chair Smith Warner and members of the committee. My name is Steve Bintliff. I'm a resident of Tigard, Oregon, a co-founder of a citizen advocacy group called Tigard First. In 2013, some of our group's members testified in support of HJM 6. This session, HJM 4, is asking for an amendment that does the same thing, but this time we're calling for an Article 5 convention. Like its predecessor, the amendment would have two principles, that corporations are not people and money is not speech. Citizens United was based on over 100 years of previous rulings that have progressively given corporations and other artificial legal entities the same constitutional rights as you and I. Today, as I testify before you, exercising my constitutional right to free speech, Monsanto and the Grocery Manufacturers Association are exercising theirs. They're suing the state of Vermont over a GMO labeling law that was passed by the Vermont legislature. They claim the law violates the company's right to free speech by compelling them to label GMO foods. Last year, we saw the Supreme Court rule that Hobby Lobby, a national arts and crafts retailer, had the right to exercise its freedom of religion under the First Amendment. The fact is, increasingly, in addition to the First Amendment, corporations are now claiming protection under the Fourth, Fifth, Seventh, and Fourteenth Amendments to avoid regulation, public disclosure, social responsibility, or accountability. In order to fix the damage caused by Citizens United, we have to address this issue of corporate constitutional rights. In HJM 4, we do this very clearly by saying that the Bill of Rights only applies to you and I, natural persons. Rights and privileges can be granted corporations and artificial legal entities by our government, but they are not inalienable rights. HJM 4 is the only resolution that addresses the legal foundation on which Citizens United was built. I urge this committee to approve HJM 4 and send it to the full House with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you so much. Go ahead, please.
My name is Sandra Oliver Poor. I live here in Salem. I'm a retired marketing engineer for Hewlett-Packard, and I've been with Marion Polk Move to Amend for 4 years now and worked on HJM 6. At MPMTA, we teach, we speak, and we table at events to build a knowledgeable electorate that is deep and wide. I would like to address the notion that we are outlawing any rights for corporations and other artificial entities. In the years that follow, once this amendment is passed, we expect that corporations will be granted their own more appropriate set of rights. The Bill of Rights was written for people. Businesses are required to make a profit above all. People have much more varied responsibilities, none of which is profit. Now that Hobby Lobby has passed the Supreme Court, we can expect corporations to demand more and more rights reserved for people, as they have been for almost 200 years now. How about the right to bear arms, or form a militia, or to vote? There are rights that are appropriate to artificial entities, but they are not people, so they should have their own bill. We are very much like Wolfpack, and in fact, the petitions on our web pages are almost identical. They both say, end corporate personhood and money is speech. To me, free and fair elections is a good idea, but too loose and open to interpretation. Just in the past year, over 30 states have introduced. Can I just finish this idea here, please?
No, I'm sorry. Can you finish that sentence? Go ahead. But the idea.
30 states have introduced and passed laws that might call. That they might call free and fair, but actually they reduce polling places, voting hours, want more idea and more ID and cut off early voting. And they would not call those unfair and unfree elections.
Thank you very much.
Hello, Co-Chair Smith-Warner and members of the committee. I'm Charlie Swanson, and I'm testifying in favor of HJM 4. I'm also in favor of HJM 2, and I think the ideal memorial would merge the two of them and would also retain and merge in ideas from HJM 6, which was passed in the 2013 session. One of the things that HJM 4 and HJM 6 both recognized was that a court-given corporate rights are inappropriate and that people and corporations are politically different. We need to remember that people need to retain their rights when they're assembled, even when they are assembled in a corporate forum. The individuals within that organization still need to retain their rights. An important point is that, though, that corporations don't have opinions. So part of the problem is that we allow corporations to behave as if they have an opinion. We should recognize that only organizations that are funded solely by human beings for the purpose of furthering their joint political views may appropriately express those views or represent those views. House Joint Memorial 2, if it's the one that's moved forward, should be modified to describe the problems that are described in the findings are what are to be addressed, not simply free and fair elections, but that is one of the things that needs to be addressed, but also all of the other problems that are put forward in the findings. And thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming. We have two more panels. The next panel, please, will be John Flannery, Greg Wasson, and Rob Sisla.
And Madam Chair, while they're coming up, I would point out that Mr. Swanson's strategy of speaking on both bills is brilliant, and he may be ready for this building.
Madam Chair, do we need to start over now that Representative Ketamir has just showed up?
Would you please?
Sorry, but I have another bill up. A couple of three bills.
Thank you all for being here. I'm going to start right. Left to right, please.
My name is Greg Wasson. I am the founder and sole member of Committee for Petition Rights. And I think a story of Oregon history that nobody seems to know could be very illuminating. The 17th Amendment did, in fact, go from appointed senators to elected senators, but it wasn't because of what happened in Congress. What happened was, think about it, the only way that Oregon could get popular election of its U.S. senators was if the federal constitution was amended. Over 10 states moved for constitutional conventions. A majority of the states, enough to amend the Constitution, petitioned for an amendment for direct election of U.S. senators. What happened was Oregon borrowed the initiative from Switzerland in 1902, and in 1907 used it to elect its U.S. senators and the legislature. What the initiative established a straw ballot so that the people could vote on who they wanted to be their U.S. senator. They chose their senator, and the legislature appointed the person that the people voted for. I think that's just... So that was 1907. In 1913, the 17th Amendment spreads direct election nationwide. So essentially, a bunch of Joes from Oregon City caused the amendment of the federal constitution. I find that an inspiring story, and I think it's a scandal that I have 3 degrees from the University of Oregon, and I had to teach it to myself. So I think that this calling for a constitutional convention is silly, and what we ought to do is ask to amend so that the states can't put amendments before the Congress, just like Congress puts amendments before the states.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Madam Vice Chair Smith Warner, members of the committee, I am Rob Siss, president of SEIU 503 OPEU. We represent over 55,000 workers throughout Oregon in a variety of sectors, and we are also a member of the Oregon Democracy Coalition. We support the objectives of HJM 2 and HJM 4 to shut down the obscene flow of money that has flooded politics and contaminated elections to where the bulk of our democracy that should belong to the common people in this country has been bought by the sliver of the population which controls most of the wealth. We support actions that would bring about a constitutional convention that would work towards an amendment to the Constitution that corporations do not have the same rights as individuals, money is not speech, and that would safeguard government of the people, by the people, for the people, and not for the current insidious and distinctly un-American trend of government of the privileged, by the privileged, for the privileged.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I support HJM 4 and think that also that it could be improved. My written testimony in connection with this describes why making it clear that corporations don't have rights is actually safe and needs to be strengthened. So I'm going to focus in this testimony about money is speech or is not speech. That, if you think about it, it's kind of a no-brainer. Money is money and speech is speech. They're two different things. And what the connection is and what that phrase actually means is unclear. The story is that the Supreme Court back in Buckley versus Vallejo back 40 years ago decided that money is speech. But actually, if you read the opinion, they never said that. That actually came about from a dissenting opinion. It was a little bit of snark on the part of Justice White. So what that actually means is not clear. And I urge that and the reason I support HJM4 as it is now, because I think the scope is adequate for that to be fleshed out in convention, but I think it would be stronger if the legislature could make it clear exactly what they wanted to change about it. Again, and I'll repeat my earlier testimony, is that instead of making distinctions about different kinds of speech, we need to make it clear what the difference is between excessive and a reasonable amount of speech is. Thanks, and I'd be eager to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming and for testifying. Next, Peter Bergel, Josh Baumgartner, and Steve... Coaster?
That is a...
And is Marisabel Governor here? Yeah. Why don't you come up as well, please? Not a joke. Let's start. Go ahead.
Vice Chair Smith Warner and members of the committee, my name is Peter Bergel. I reside here in Salem, Oregon. And I speak today in support of the intent of both HJM 2 and HJM 4, and that is in support of these four elements. Asking Congress to begin the process of amending the U.S. Constitution for the 28th time in order to remove the influence of money on our electoral process. That's number one. Number two, corporations and other artificial entities are not what the Constitution means when it refers to persons and should not have the rights of people, especially in terms of influencing elections. Corporations should be returned to their original status as entities chartered to serve the public good and should be carefully monitored to ensure that they do. Three, the right to free speech does not include the right to use money to overwhelm other people's free speech. All elections in this country should be fairly conducted, open to all citizens to participate as voters or as candidates, and not dominated by excessive spending. Now I ask you, members of this committee, are these principles not at the heart of the American dream? Are they not essential to liberty? As elected officials, I know that you're all aware of the disproportionate role that money plays in the electoral process. And I'm sure that one of the first questions that you asked yourselves when you decided to run is, how am I going to be able to raise the money to run this campaign? Well, you are among the few, the fortunate ones, who were able to raise enough money to campaign successfully. But should that ability be the main deciding factor in determining who sits in the chairs of government? I say it should not, and I hope you agree with me on that. And I therefore urge you to move one or both of these measures or some combination of them to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Josh Baumgartner from Silverton, vice chairs and the members. I just simply want to say that I'm in favor of both of these measures, and if they're, I'll let the legal people figure what the right terminology of it is. But the important thing is that we have representatives that can focus on the people and not on dialing for dollars all the time and having to spend the vast majority of their time filling the war coffers of themselves, of their parties, of other members, so that they can even have appointments and get things done on the floor. it may seem simple to say corporations are not people and money is not free speech, but 200 years and a lot of intelligent people, lawyers, and a lot of money behind it has turned things a little bit upside down. We have the tool now. Let's go out there. Maybe we just need to put an amendment in that says the obvious.
Thank you. Go ahead, please.
My name is Marie Sabelle, Governor. Thank you, Vice Chair, and the members of this committee. I'm thinking my father said, child of God, don't embroider your speech. And so I'll try to be very direct. I remember the day, and I think in the end I would say to you, what does it take? I mean, you've heard it. You know it. You knew it before we all got here, what's going on. You're elected officials. So what does it take to really know? Are we guarding our freedom in this country, or are we selling it out? So I remember when Citizens United was passed, I called my children, I have three children, who were in different parts of the United States. I got them out of bed, and I said, what I taught you about democracy in this country has changed. It's not the same. It will not be the same for you nor your children. It is coming to an end. And so I think it's an alarming situation that we're in. I think HJM4 has the teeth to make some changes and to safeguard what everybody's always talking about. What did the founding fathers really mean when they did this and that and said this and that? It's that, you know, people have a right to vote and that votes can't be bought and that money isn't speech and corporations aren't persons unless, like persons, they can be executed, which apparently they can't. So thank you very much for listening to me. Wow, a warning. So thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you for coming. Thank you all. Any questions for this panel before they're dismissed? Thank you. And just to check again, if Steve Koester or anyone who could show a reasonable facsimile of that name is still seeking to speak. Okay, is that it? Okay, thank you. Okay, I just wanted to thank everyone again. I think this was a great, vigorous conversation about some very important topics. I thank you all for being here. And with that, I will close the public hearing on HJM4. And I will adjourn the meeting. 4.